This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel. 6 years ago, a blonde teenager from Milwaukee stood trial and stood near the forefront of a trend in criminal justice. He was a conscientious, straight-A student at an inner-city Catholic school. On June 22, 1997, at age 15, he had shot and killed his father's roommate and drug dealer. He said the man threatened him. In years past, he would most likely have been tried in juvenile court. But, in keeping with the nationwide movement of the 1990s, the state of Wisconsin charged him as an adult.
Would you spell your first and last name for our court reporter?
J-E-R-E-M-Y. And Armstrong is A-R-M-S-T-R-O-N-G.
Thank you.
That was 1997. Jeremy Armstrong was convicted as an adult and sentenced to 20 years in prison. Since then, we've stayed in touch.
Jeremy Jason Armstrong, 342386. I'm at Green Bay Correctional Facility. I'm almost 3 years into my sentence.
My name is Jeremy Armstrong. My number is 342386, and we're at Green Bay Correctional Institution. I'm coming up on my fifth year in June.
That was last January. Green Bay is a maximum security prison, and the thought of getting out on parole consumed Jeremy's every moment.
Yes, I've been thinking about it a lot lately. It's kept me up a few nights. I've done everything they asked and went out of my way to do whatever I could get involved with. I get one chance to impress them people. They see me one time and look at what I've done for the last 5 years. I hope I get a chance.
Just 5 years into a 20-year sentence, the chance was slim. It came and went. Parole was denied. Earlier this month, I visited with Jeremy to see how he's doing. He's now 21.
My name is Jeremy Jason Armstrong. My institution number is 342386, and we're at Oshkosh Correctional Institution. This is a medium security prison. It's the biggest prison in the state. We have just under 2,000 guys. I think it was 1,885 last night. And this is like, it's a whole new experience.
The step down from a maximum to a medium security prison is a grant of freedom unimaginable to people who've never been incarcerated.
This is the south side.
And which is your side?
I'm right over there.
Jeremy beams at the possibility of showing me not his cell, he says, but his room. There is a lock on the door, but he has a key.
Home. This is home. And it's clean, so I'm not embarrassed.
And you can open the window?
In the summer. We're in energy conservation time, so yeah, keep the window closed.
So two of you are in here. What is it? It's about 7 foot by 14. And out in the distance, you can see real life. Huh?
That's freedom. Get to watch the highway, get to watch the car lights every night.
Are you on the upper level or
yeah,
the lower?
Yeah, I'm upstairs.
You're upstairs.
Jeremy has the top bunk. His cellmate has the bottom. Each man has a television set at the foot of his bed. On a small desk, Jeremy keeps his books, including a large dictionary, a thesaurus, a volume of Pablo Neruda he has yet to start. He is a reader. He completed a GED at Green Bay that posed no intellectual challenge, but now he takes college English correspondence courses, and he's doing Shakespeare's tragedies this term. He has also been reading Dickens and some 20th century writers whom he has come to admire, Nelson Mandela and Dorothy Day, the leader of the Catholic worker movement.
And here's your bulletin board.
This is all my stuff. My roommate, all he wants is his chessboard.
He and his cellmate share a bulletin board to which the cellmate has tacked up just one thing, his chess set. Jeremy has attached some picture postcards, a Van Gogh, a shot of the ocean, something he's never seen, and the notice informing him of the outcome of his parole hearing last summer.
See, this is the line that he kept repeating over and over.
You need to serve additional time for punishment, improved conduct, and eventual transition into reduced security for long-term monitoring will be necessary in order to reduce your risk to the community. And not served sufficient time.
Yep. It took about 8 minutes, and they gave me a 3-year deferment, which means I see him again in 3 years. 2005.
And if he doesn't commit any disciplinary infractions, he can spend that time at Oshkosh, where we walk around the grounds in highly circumscribed but still palpable freedom.
Our gym is right back there at the end of the street, and medical. And that big ugly sucker, that's X building, that's receiving.
What are you going to try to accomplish over the next year? What are your goals for yourself?
I got to finish Shakespeare for sure. Yeah. And my New Year's resolutions were to write 1,000 letters, and I'm at 171 right now. Read 50 books, and I have 8 books read, so I'm a little behind there. And to work on my left-handed dribble, which is still a work in progress.
To work on your left-handed dribble.
Yeah, I'm a total right-hand dominant. I do everything with my right hand.
What actually brought Jeremy Armstrong to Oshkosh was the program that he's now working in. At a word processor, he transcribes books into Braille. He's applied for certification, and while he awaits word on his application, he's assisting another transcriber. They're working on a middle school reader.
Right now, we're doing the Complete Cow, and it's supposed to be for 8th grade level reader.
The Complete Cow.
Everything you want to know. History of the cow all the way up until the modern day dairy shows.
You're now doing something to serve blind people.
Which I've never met. I've never met a blind person.
You've never met a blind person.
Never met a blind person, so that's kind of weird.
Transcribing books into Braille engages Jeremy's brain. At Green Bay, he worked for the maintenance staff doing plumbing. In a cell block that he described as intolerably loud, he used to lead a life that he found boring and that he now admits he found frightening, too.
Yeah, I was in such a state of denial while I was in Green Bay, I don't think I ever admitted it to myself that I was scared, but... You know, getting perspective on it, it really is like, man, first 6 months in Green Bay were probably, you know, I spent every day afraid, not knowing what to expect. So.
Well, I mean, now that you're out of Green Bay, and assuming you're not going back, what are the worst memories that you have of that place?
The thing that I never realized was just how much you spent in that cell. I knew in some way, you know, you spent a lot of time in the room. You know, when I first got here, they had to open right, and I didn't believe them. I didn't believe them for 3 days until I actually seen guys going outside. So,
you just hung back in the room.
I just stayed. Well, and you come here, you go through receiving again, which is just bunk beds. You know, it's like a dorm. So I just stayed in there and I just watched for 3 days and didn't say nothing to nobody.
Even though they told you could walk around.
They told us, right? They have an orientation and they tell you, and it wouldn't sink in for a couple of days.
Shows you what 4 years in a prison cell can do.
It's scary because that's how. That's how institutionalization really takes hold without you ever realizing it. And, you know, it took a while. It took a good month before I even felt normal again.
And could take advantage of the freedoms that were being offered.
Well, that's when you start going out once in a while, you know, and then you start talking to people again and, you know, you just see how things run.
A year ago, you were worried about getting too used to being in prison, becoming institutionalized was your word. Now you're in a better prison. Do you worry about getting too used to it?
I think it's more dangerous here than in Green Bay. Green Bay, you knew you were in prison every single day when the door slammed. Here, it's almost like you're at camp or something. You know, it's a whole different experience. But I think the reason that it's worse here is because you start to forget where you're at.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
The Catholic Church was the rare, if not the only, stable institution in Jeremy's childhood, and today it's even more important to him. The auxiliary bishop of Milwaukee and the head of his old school remain in touch with him. Every week there is Mass at the prison, and also every week two lay volunteers involved in Catholic prison ministry come to conduct a Bible study class. Faith and God, this is an important part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
How have you changed since you've been in prison?
Before, it was always about me. You know what I mean? It was always, what do I got to do for me? How am I going to be happy? How do I fit in the grand scheme of things? And now, I think I don't view it so much like that way. It's more about, you know, how is everyone else around me feeling? You know, you see guys that just are miserable all the time, and that's not right. You shouldn't be miserable. Maybe they just need some guy to walk up to them and say, you want to play some cards or you want to play chess or something. And you know, you can make their lives a little bit better. And while that's not a great deal, I think that's a huge change for me because I never even thought that way before.
So you're not at the center of your universe, right?
I try not to be as selfish as I used to be.
And how has your faith helped you in that?
It's pointed out how to grow. I don't think I knew how to grow before. It's just showing me how, you know, a lot of the things I took pride in were the things I should have been guarding against.
For
for example.
You know, you take pride in your accomplishments, just what is a good thing, but you also go take it to the extreme where you think you're better than other people. That's very dangerous.
Prisoners, especially those with the possibility of parole, inhabit a controlled universe full of incentives and disincentives. Bad behavior means more time. Good behavior means less time. One is expected to make progress and to realize some benefit for it. Which raises a central question about Jeremy's sentencing. Had a judge decided otherwise, he would have been tried as a juvenile, spent 3 years in a youth facility, and been released by now. In view of his own sense of moral progress, I asked him whether he thought he would have matured just as well without facing the numbing possibility of 20 years behind bars.
You know, that's one of the most questions I've mulled over the most, and I don't know how to answer it because it's so... I mean, I can't take away what Green Bay did to me. I can't take away all the things I've seen since then. And it's hard to decide if I would have done the same changes in a juvenile setting, knowing that I would have 3 or 4 years to go. I don't know. I've talked to people who have gone through the juvenile system, and they said it's just as bad as going to prison. So I honestly, I don't know what I would have turned out as if I went there.
And do you ever think where you'd be right now if... You know, one day, one guy hadn't menaced you, said the wrong thing, and set you off.
I don't know. I thought about it in the past, but I haven't been able to do it where I can get to a point. Where would I have been if I didn't spend the last 6 years in prison? Where would I have been if I was on a different day, you know, June 22nd? You know, it's just so much. It's hard to go back and rebuild what could have been. You know, there's a lot of regrets in life, and that's one of them things that I can't change. I never can change. And I ate myself up for the first couple years just trying to figure out what could have been.
Since the day Jeremy Armstrong was sentenced, these changes have taken place in the world outside prison walls. The boom and bust of the dot-coms, MP3, DVD, the Clinton impeachment, the killings at Columbine, the celebration of the millennium, the long Florida vote count, September 11th, and the war in Afghanistan. And over those 6 years... Jeremy Armstrong has moved from maximum to medium custody and learned that the world does not revolve around him. And that is a pretty big change, too.